You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja.
We love the earth.
It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, September 21st, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show, everybody. We got a great show for you today. And to start things off, I need to clue you in on to what surprised me this morning. I got a message from my good friend, the Robin to my Batman, Jen Michelle Padini, out there at Richmond, Virginia Normal, who clued me in to last night's Late Night with Seth Meyers. You know this program on the National Broadcasting Corporation, NBC? Yeah, so Late Night with Seth Meyers last night did a in-depth look at Congressman Dana Rohrabacher's ties to Russia. And in there, they had to take the shot at Congressman Rohrabacher for his support of marijuana reform. And something very familiar came to my ears as I watched the video. Let me play it for you. Here it is. Enjoy.
Now, a part of me thinks Rohrabacher may have already tried that. Because it would help to explain this impromptu jam session he engaged reporters in during a tour of his office back in 2011.
Over the years, I've written a lot of songs that are sort of political songs, you know, the sort of patriotic things and things like that. God bless America, God bless our freedom, and God bless the people who work every day. God bless us all. God bless America, the freest land of all. There you go.
Would you believe he's only had negative 30 lessons? Look for that song on Rohrabacher's album, Bumper Stickers I Saw at Costco. Seriously. What is this guy smoking? Well, funny I should ask.
Now, don't tell anybody I broke the law. Actually, you know, they'll bust down my door. And, you know, and take whatever's inside and use it for evidence against me. There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
So much for the theory that weed helps you write great music.
All right, so pretty good joke. I thought that was pretty funny. Love the video appearing there. Actually, it was just audio. They just had a picture of Congressman Rohrabacher while audio played. And there was a caption there that said 5/24/16, as in May 24th, 2016. So I'm really glad that Seth Meyers' crew there did such a great job of making sure they got the date right on that audio. But you know what was missing? Some credit to the guy that recorded that audio. Some credit to the guy who was sitting there with his recorder on the podium in front of Congressman Rohrabacher, which is why it was such fantastic audio, by the way. And it's not as if this would have been hard to find. To get that story, May 24th, 2016 year, they had to go to the Washington Post's report on that. And the Washington Post, Christopher Ingraham, thank you so much, gave me credit, reported by Radical Russ, or Russ Belville, he actually put down, from Cannabis Radio, which I was with at the time. So Late Night with Seth Meyers. Hey, how about a little bit of credit here? How about a caption, anything, a shout out, a tweet would be nice, anything. So listeners out there, if you'd like to help me out with this, maybe get some attention from the Late Night with Seth Meyers crew, tweet them at Late Night Seth. At Late Night Seth and say, hey, how about some credit for at Radical Russ? I'd really appreciate it. All right, coming up on the show today, we got the cannabis headline news first. Then we get into Police for Reform, our LEAP segment. We got Jason Thomas joining us from Colorado. He's going to talk about the Cameron Smith kidnap murder case in Cheney, Washington, and what we need to do to improve security at our marijuana dispensaries. Then we'll conclude things today with a radical rant about President Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines, the latest shocking thing he's had to say. All right, let's get to it. It's time for the news.
This is your Cannabis Headline News. Brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, September 21st, 2017. I'm Russ Belville. Tom Angel at Forbes notes that for the second time in as many days, U.S. Senator Al Franken just added his name to a marijuana bill. On Tuesday, the Democratic lawmaker from Minnesota became the fifth co-sponsor of legislation to allow cannabis cultivators and sellers operating in accordance with state laws to be taxed just like any other business. The day before, he signed on to a bill that would allow those businesses to access financial services from banks. Earlier this month, the former Saturday Night Live star was one of six senators to introduce a broad bipartisan bill that would amend federal laws so states can enact and implement their own medical cannabis laws without federal interference. The leadership on marijuana issues is a far cry from when Franken said on a BuzzFeed podcast last year, in response to a question submitted by Tom Angel, that he was, quote, not the guy to ask, end quote, about cannabis policy. A judge dismissed a lawsuit Wednesday in Kentucky against Governor Matt Bevin and Attorney General Andy Beshear that called for the legalization of medical marijuana in the state, according to a report from the Lexington Herald Leader. In his opinion, Franklin Circuit Judge Thomas Wingate wrote that the Kentucky Supreme Court clearly established in 2000 decision involving actor and hemp activist Woody Harrelson that the General Assembly has the sole discretion under the state constitution to regulate the use of cannabis in the state. The courts do not have the authority to intervene, Wingate wrote. In their own lawsuit filed in June, Dan Seam Jr. and Amy Stalker of Jefferson County and Danny Belcher of Bath County said they suffer from various physical and mental ailments that are alleviated by marijuana use. They claim the state's cannabis ban violates their rights under the state constitution to privacy and to be free from the, quote, absolute and arbitrary power of the state over their, quote, lives, liberty, and property, end quote. Proposed adult-use cannabis regulations from the Maine legislature's Marijuana Committee would allow licensed retail stores to sell pot from drive-up windows and over the internet, reports the Portland Press-Herald. Like any other recreational marijuana consumer, drive-up and online customers would have to show identification to the window or delivery employee to prove they are at least 21 years old. Supporters say such retail conveniences are already available to the state's alcohol industry and will help Maine's new legal marijuana market compete with a thriving illegal market. But opponents, including a leader of the Marijuana Committee, warn against making it too easy to buy an herb that is still illegal under federal law and too hard for new state regulators to track sales. The Las Vegas Review-Journal reports that Sin City is getting its first 24/7 pot shop. City code forces dispensaries to close between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., but the city council on Wednesday unanimously voted to let Oasis Cannabis to be an always-open marijuana dispensary. Mayor Carolyn Goodman, whose son has ownership interest in a marijuana company, abstained from the vote. Located in the shadow of the Stratosphere at 1800 Industrial Road, Oasis Cannabis is primed to be the first 24/7 marijuana dispensary located near the Strip. But it will not be the first Las Vegas Valley dispensary to always be open, as North Las Vegas allows its dispensaries to do so. Clark County commissioners voted Tuesday to move forward with plans to let the 26 pot shops in its jurisdiction to do so, but that change likely will not be approved before October 3rd. The Centers for Disease Control found that marijuana use among adults over 65 increased more than 300% between 2002 and 2014, according to a story on Colorado Public Radio. While they're still only less than 2% of the total population of users, that increase is significant. As a percentage of the overall share of medical cards, those over 61 were 21% of all Colorado patients as of those over 65 were 21% of all Colorado patients as of August 2017. When it comes to understanding why more seniors are using marijuana, Dr. Joe Cohens can provide some anecdotal evidence, saying, quote, we see a lot of arthritic conditions, whether it be osteoarthritis or degenerative disc disease, back problems. We see a lot of what we call neurodegenerative diseases, which are more common in the elderly population. That can be anything from Parkinson's to multiple sclerosis, end quote. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for Thursday, September 21st, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com. City of Portland permit number 17-159-855.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
This is Police for Reform, brought to you by Law Enforcement Action Partnership at LEAP.cc. LEAP is a group of law enforcement professionals advocating for criminal justice reforms in the areas of drug prohibition, mass incarceration, asset forfeiture, community policing, and more. LEAP provides qualified speakers across the world to speak with authority on criminal justice issues. We visit with one such speaker now in Police for Reform.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Police for Reform, the podcast for Law Enforcement Action Partnership. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us today, we have Jason Thomas. He's a former detention officer and deputy marshal in Denver, Colorado. Prowers County, actually, is where you served, and thanks for joining us today.
You bet, Russ. Thanks for having me on.
I'm glad to have you here because you're someone who's in Colorado in the middle of the biggest, until California comes online, the biggest marijuana market we've got. And there's a story that happened recently in my neck of the woods up here in the Pacific Northwest that's really shaken me. And it has to do with the kidnapping and murder of a dispensary employee, a man named Cameron Smith, a killer named Donovan Culps. He's actually confessed to the killing, abducted him at gunpoint, shot him, stole his car, dumped his body. Just a terrible, terrible case. And I just wanted to talk about security and safety, because this is something that's of concern to us in this, especially as so many of the, so much of the cannabis industry still deals with a lot of cash only transactions. Can you give us your thoughts about this particular case and what we could do as consumers and employees to help keep ourselves safer?
Well, the case in Washington, it's just a tragedy what happened. You know, the cannabis industry, as you mentioned, deals in primarily cash. Cannabis itself is a very high dollar value item. And therefore, having those two together creates, a more potential issues for the business owner with higher security risks. Now, with this case in Washington, it appears that the perpetrator was not served in the dispensary for lack of paperwork. He got angry, more than angry, decided to take action as he did. Really looking at that case, I really see that as more of, public safety issue. He really could have gone into a bar, not been served, come back and, shot the place up. With that being said, though, within the cannabis industry, security is paramount. You know, it's a public safety issue. It's an issue for your employees, for your business, for the owners. Security is taken very seriously. With the proliferation of more states coming online, each state generally mirrors all the others in respects to security and what's required. Because it's highly regulated and highly sought after commodity, the security regulations are very stringent and stout, but there's always room for improvement on those.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have the cameras in the dispensaries themselves. I mean, most of the states, the laws I've looked at, they actually have pretty stringent security requirements as to, I mean, they get down to how many pixels the video has to have. It has to be 24-hour accessible in some places. But as consumers, as the people that are going, I guess this wouldn't just apply to dispensaries, but, you know, in a world where we live with the threat of terrorism, just going out in public, you have to worry about mass shooters or bombers or anything like that. What are some tips you can give the general public when they're just out and about to keep an eye out and to be able to keep themselves safe?
Well, keep your eyes open. Keep your head up. Be aware of your surroundings would probably be the first. Within the regulated marijuana industry, in Colorado, and I believe in every other state, any employee that works within the industry has to get an occupational badge that they're vetted through their state criminal justice system to check their criminal background and other items that may preclude them or prohibit them from working in the industry. I'd say if you're in a dispensary, you know, look at the people around. If you're nervous, you know, if someone's lingering, you know, just be aware of your surroundings. It's like any, you know, like you said, it's like walking the streets nowadays. You know, we're not as safe as we used to be because violence seems to be more prolific and, you know, directed at innocent individuals, you know, often. You know, in terms of security for business owners, for employees, as you said, you know, states have very stringent requirements down to, you know, how many pixels they must have on the resolution, cameras pretty much everywhere. In Colorado, you have to have a camera on each side of every door within a facility. And, you know, you look at a moderately sized dispensary, you're probably looking at 30 or 40 cameras alone just for that, you know, for that space. In addition to security cameras, burglar alarms and alarms, you know, that people would carry fobs on them in case of, you know, emergency, they could click that and it would trigger the burglar alarm. Door locks, you know, every part of a licensed facility have doors that lock and stay locked to keep it a controlled area. So the public or people that aren't advised to be there, you know, don't have access to cash, to, you know, the bud tending area, to, you know, the product storage. On the cultivation side, you know, not allowing people to have access to your grow rooms, you know, to your clone rooms. So really keeping a very tight control of who comes and who goes out of any one facility. You're also required to sign in when you visit any facility if you're there for business, you know, i.e. not shopping at a store. And so you have to sign in and sign out as a record that you were there. You're also on camera to substantiate that. So there's quite a few very stringent security measures that if they are not met to a T, then the local municipality will not license that business until they have everything squared away. In looking at the whole industry and what it takes to run a business, to have a business, in my mind, security is paramount and one of the top two or three items that a business must focus on and have a good handle on, because it's a security issue, you know, potentially life and death for their employees, for their customers themselves. And while it's not widely known or widely publicized, you know, there have been other shootings. There was a death here of a security guard during a robbery of a dispensary, and another tragedy, you know, with this gentleman. So there are security concerns, but overall, our regulations have done a very good job to either mitigate them or to help reduce the potential issues that may come up.
I mentioned at the beginning of our discussion here about the cash-only nature of the marijuana businesses, which owes to the federal government still maintaining prohibitions on banks working with people that deal with Schedule I substances. What's the status of that situation in Colorado? Have there been improvements? Has the state moved to make any adjustments to try to help people out, or are they still just loading sacks full of cash into armored cars back there?
Well, it's the latter. You know, the state has done a little work, but not really gotten behind a lot of the banking issues that we have in Colorado. We had a credit union that was being established. They got state approval for their charter. The file is still sitting at the Federal Reserve for their final approval of the master banking number. That case went to, I believe, the appellate court. And, you know, based on the arguments, the appellate court denied the request to be, you know, to receive their account number. But it's still largely a cash business. Most businesses, I'd say, or quite, you know, a number of them have banking relationships, whether they're known to the bank or not, of what they do. But, you know, you're still dealing with thousands of dollars in cash. Quite a few of our clients, you know, the bigger operators, they have people that count cash all day because they're doing $500,000, $1 million in cash per day, you know, amongst a dozen stores. So banking is still an issue. You know, cash is still a big issue. We started seeing a few mainstream armored car companies get in the industry, very limited. There have been a few security companies here and still are that provide for cash transit. But by and large, I'd say that, you know, if you're going to the bank or if you're going to pay your taxes, you're probably going to show up with a bag of cash more likely than not.
Yeah, what a shame. Is there anything else going on security-wise that is a flaw in the system that you'd like to see Colorado or any of the other states address absent any move from the federal government? I mean, is there anything they can do and any other subjects or any other security risks that should be taken a look at that the states could address?
You know, not really that comes to mind, and I've given it quite a bit of thought. One of the societal benefits, if you will, to having the industry is that because it is such a highly, you know, it's a high-value commodity and then all the cash, what we found is that areas where facilities are located, let's say heavy industrial areas that used to never have really any police presence, now those areas are getting a higher incidence of drive-bys by police officers. Which, you know, helps spread, you know, the public safety aspect of it. In terms of the overall security, I think that the plans and the regulations to where they've gotten in Colorado are very good. There are companies and groups, you know, in other parts of the country and Canada, they're using biometric scanners and a much more technological advanced security systems. However, those are unique applications and generally really aren't needed. It's kind of overkill in most cases. I'm sure there are other security measures that could, you know, be adapted or adopted. But overall, you know, security programs are very tight. You know, they're one of the top, you know, issues or items that a licensing authority will look at. You know, what we need is access to banking, you know, to be able to have, you know, take cash into a bank and have them accept it, you know, with no questions asked or understanding where it comes from and being fine with it. But in the absence of that, it's still going to be, you know, very potentially risky business to be in.
As the mainstream digests this story about Cameron Smith's kidnapping and killing, I described it on my show and discussed how, you know, the fact that it was at a marijuana dispensary is kind of incidental. This could have been a liquor store, or a convenience store, or a bar, or any place. This guy was just, as Trump would say, a bad hombre. So in your opinion, are dispensaries any safer or more risky than any other outlet, like a convenience store, or a liquor store, or a bar?
I would say that there is probably a perception that they are, and in reality, I would say yes, they are, but it's somewhat limited. You know, it's like going into a pawn shop, if you will. You know, there's items in there that have high value, that are somewhat untraceable, you know, jewelry, diamonds, gold. You know, it's just it's a high-value commodity that, you know, is different from a liquor store, is different from, you know, many other businesses, but you know, if you look at, liken it to banks, you know, banks are highly secured. They're, you know, everything's on tape. You know, they have alarms, you know, to summon anybody they need. But they have security measures and protocols in place, as the industry does. You know, it's just inherent, you know, to the fact that it's a largely cash business and largely untraceable high-value commodity. So, you know, one thing that we're seeing here that's just coming out in Colorado are actual distribution companies with offsite storage. And I think that'll help with the security measures in terms of groups that have bulk storage on site for, you know, lots of their product. They can have that, you know, essentially secured in an offsite location by others, which would provide an extra layer of security for the business owner himself or herself.
Jason Thomas is a former detention officer and deputy marshal in Denver, Colorado, and a speaker for Law Enforcement Action Partnership. If you'd like to get Jason or other speakers booked in your area, make sure you visit leap.cc or policeforreform.com. You can find out more information. Jason, thanks for joining us and giving us your expertise here on the security issue when it comes to our marijuana dispensaries. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're quite welcome, and thank you again for having me on. It's a great opportunity.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. If you're a cannabis brand looking to build trust and awareness within the community, consider becoming a sponsor of this program. Your message will be seen and heard by the most dedicated followers of marijuana policy reform, who are loyal and supportive of those brands that give back to the community. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button to learn how your brand can also be featured in my live nationwide appearances. Thank you for your support.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm astonished to hear people suggest we can solve our heroin crisis. Have you heard this? By having more marijuana.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill. That was
the point. I think it would be a mistake to leave a state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
Well, if there's going to be any awards in the Philippines for Father of the Year, they're not going to go to the president. If you haven't been following what's going on in the Philippines with President Rodrigo Duterte, do some Googling and get informed, because this is just a tragedy, a massacre, an apocalypse going on in the Philippines, where the president has vocally called for the killing of drug dealers and drug users, and not just openly called for their killing, but has told vigilantes, go for it, go ahead and kill them, wipe the drug scum off the earth. And he's said that the police, that the people who do this won't be prosecuted. Even the police are doing this. They're just killing people in the streets. Over 8,000 dead so far in the Philippines because of this massive slaughter of drug suspected, remember, suspected drug users or drug traffickers. And we're not talking just, meth and coke. They're killing people over weed as well in the Philippines. This is a guy that President Trump said is doing a great job with his drug problem in the Philippines. This is someone that Trump and Sessions wish they could emulate. Well, he has said that according to their latest allegations, his son, Paolo, has been accused of trafficking meth from China. Duterte says he will kill his own son for trafficking drugs if it's proved to be true. What a world we live in, folks.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
all the time we got today, but we'll have a special show for you tomorrow, extended with 20 more to talk about in the world of weed. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. You grow it, you try it, you roam it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.